And I'm Lynn Scherr in for Celeste here with John. It was just a few weeks ago that we were all focused on West Virginia, the explosion at the Upper Big Branch mine that killed 29 men. It was a horrible, horrible story, a biggest mine disaster in a generation. And it raised new questions about the safety record of Massa Energy. This weekend, as the president and vice president traveled to West Virginia to attend a memorial for the miners, we take a look at the conditions that led to this horror. Ian Urbina is a national correspondent for the New York Times. Along with two other reporters, he reports on huge failures of safety at the Upper Big Branch mine for an article in today's New York Times. Welcome back, Ian.
Thanks a lot.
First of all, set the scene for us, Ian. What were the conditions and some of the safety concerns at the Upper Big Branch mine?
The conditions for at least the past year have been really bad in that mine, and grew worse in recent months. It's a mine that's pretty deep underground, over 1,000 feet, where the explosion's thought to have occurred. And it was a mine that was just over and over and over again getting hit with citations by federal regulators for a whole range of problems, many of them having to do with ventilation and struggles with getting enough clean air into the sort of deep tunnels of the honeycomb that made up this mine.
And Ian, just remind us why methane is so deadly in a circumstance like this.
It's deadly for two reasons. You're not supposed to breathe it, quite simply. But secondly, it's very explosive, and you need to run these fans and push in fresh air to push the methane out. And the combination of methane and coal dust together is extremely explosive, and it's probably what caused the explosion 2 weeks ago.
These conditions exist by definition in most coal mines, but other mines have managed to avoid this catastrophic loss of life. What did you learn in your reporting for this story in today's New York Times that makes you call conditions at the Upper Big Branch mine egregious?
We learned a couple of things. We learned about a long track record of seeming neglect and among the mine operators themselves, and a sort of willful disregard for the most basic safety requirements. And I can go into specifics, but there were three big findings in our reporting that sort of speculate why there might have been so much methane that had built up there.
Sorry, I thought you were about to go do it. What were the... go ahead.
So first of all, there's a shaft inside right. The mine that's known as the Glory Hole. It's essentially a storage shaft where a lot of the coal, after it's cut, is put until it's carried out on the conveyor belt.
And just so our people get an image of this, there are mines on top of mines that have been finished or dug out or whatever, and the shaft goes through all of them, correct?
That's right, and that's important because normally you're supposed to seal the lower mine off from the upper mines so that the methane the coal dust doesn't come down through the shaft and contaminate the lower areas. It doesn't get sucked down by the ventilation fans.
And instead of that sealing, you found something very different.
Buckets, rags, trash, just a poor man's sealant is how we describe it. It was not properly sealed. It was a constant concern for the miners there, and it partially explains, we think, why there were unusually high methane levels right in that area, which is near where the explosion is thought to have occurred.
The sound we heard earlier from that miner who spoke to you, obviously on condition that you conceal his identity, you concealed his voice. He had another quote in your article where you talk about the fact that there were grown men crying. This is not what we are used to hearing from coal miners.
Yeah, that foreman was unusual. He was unusual in that he was very compelling and very brave to come forward and very knowledgeable about the mine. And he described just this ongoing sense of fear that many of the miners felt, and many of them came to him and expressed that one day there was going to be a big explosion and that there were going to be fatalities.
And in your article, you also describe with your team of reporters that the safety record of this mine with Massey was different from the safety record of another mine in Kentucky. What did you learn about the differences there? It was a fascinating comparison.
Yeah, so Clifford Krauss, one of the other reporters, went to a mine in Hazard, Kentucky. It's called the E31 Tico mine. It's a very similar mine in size and the type of mining that's being done. It's pulling out a coal that is more gassy, so it produces more methane, which would mean it should be even harder to make it safe. But when you looked at the records of these two mines, the Massey mine and this other mine in Kentucky, it was night and day. This other mine had never had a fatality. It had a very, very low rate of injuries. And in some ways, most importantly, there's a certain type of citation that federal regulators will give. If they scold you once and tell you you need to fix something and you don't fix it, then you get a certain type of citation. And those citations tell you that the mine operator is not really correcting knowable problems. And this Kentucky mine had very few of those citations, whereas the Massey mine had very many.
And you also described the Kentucky mine as having a greater the circulation of air, much more ventilation, correct?
Yeah, they were much more effective at ventilation, and they kept to the regulations very close. So the fans were located where they were supposed to be. The curtains were never taken down that tracked the air. And so they just did things by the book, and it showed.
And just briefly, Ian Urbina for the New York Times, are the conditions that you found, was there enough negligence by Massey at the Upper Big Branch mine to lead to indictments? Is this a criminal issue?
I don't know. I can't honestly say that. I know that federal prosecutors are investigating right now, so clearly they think that there's a possibility.
Okay, Ian Urbina, national correspondent for our partner, The New York Times. His article in today's issue. Thank you so much for joining us.
And the value of this New York Times partnership, you can go to our website and see and hear audio of that foreman who spoke with Ian Urbina. You can hear the bravery in his voice. It's all at thetakeaway.org. You can read the full article as well.